Mm-hmm. How about the spring we're having?
Wonderful spring.
Great spring.
Mm-hmm. We've spent more time in the snow removal equipment the last 2 days than we did all winter.
All winter. Right.
Honestly.
I know.
I gave myself motion sickness today. I was backing up so fast. In the dark.
You get motion sickness really easily, though.
I know. I have a, must have an inner ear. I'm teetering on, what do you call it?
Old.
Jason Day. That's funny.
Jason Day?
When he had vertigo.
Vertigo.
I think I'm moments from vertigo.
You remember like teaching me how to drive? Drive stick. That was, you made me, that lasted 15 minutes and then we had to stop.
Where, what vehicle did you drive the stick?
Our old beat up racer that we had.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That, yeah, we were out in Sabin.
Mm-hmm.
Locking it. Oops, stalled. Well, we'll try it again.
That's all right, a lost art.
That's enough.
It is.
We're going to drive a stick.
I want to get a vehicle with a stick. I love
it. I think it's more fun. It is. Honestly.
I've never driven stick.
Yeah, Nick, that, you never have. Nope. That's, I've deprived Don't you
know.
Of that.
Wouldn't know how.
That 90 Porsche.
It's an art.
944 yeah. that I had, that was fun to drive.
That was really fun to drive. It's my daily for a little bit.
It's back when you had to be an athlete to drive a car.
Mm-hmm. Just had to be smarter than the car, I guess. Welcome back to another round at Sweet Shots. Introductions again. I forgot that last time. Lucas Johnson alongside Nick Johnson, Chuck Johnson, Mark Johnson down there over in the Krispy Kreme adjacent hat. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is a wonderful spring we're having here, gents. This is day 2.5 of a spring blizzard.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Gotta love it.
Isn't it crazy that like a month ago we were talking about, you know what? We could go out and play golf right now.
Yeah. 60 degrees a month ago. And
yeah. Now it's not even 13 and blowing 40 and a couple inches of snow on the ground. But it happens every year. I remember calling this about sitting beginning or late February when it was nice. It's like, you wait, there's going to be a March snowstorm of some kind.
Well, I think this is like our third like smallish snowstorm. We're like, this is our last one. Then it's going to get warmer again. And then a week later, we get another one.
Well, kudos to Dean Wysocki with WDAY Radio. Because back in late January, February, per his models, he predicted this. March 25th, we would get hit. He did. I listened. Yeah, I'm like, come on. There's no way he knows that. And he knew it.
Right on.
Don't people usually like make fun of the weathermen for not getting it right?
I'm going to shake his hand next time I see him. Because
he deserves that. That is good. It gives you a heads up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got some software that they're using.
Is that historical data, you think?
Like, no, it's, I wonder what they use.
It's like a 60 days, 90 days cyclical deal.
Something like that.
Interesting.
Well, how many days are we past Christmas? Because
it was the storm of Christmas.
It's the storm of Christmas. And you wonder, I'm just simplifying it. If you just watch a storm and it works its way around the world, it's coming back at a certain time.
That's right.
It's how weather patterns work.
No, seriously, that's in essence what it was.
So that's one of the things I don't understand. Weather, I just don't understand. How can they,
it's low pressures and high pressures.
Calcutta Clippers,
Denny Green.
I've always known it as the earth wants to be in equilibrium, and there's never, so I guess I never thought about it. It's got to work its way around. It's always chasing itself, I guess. Yeah.
We could have Dean on someday and he could break it down for us.
See, we could, yeah.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Talk Someone about to the
explain,
ideal.
Explain weather. How
well,
you
Mark, you said
it.
Being a golf professional, you had to have like a minor in meteorology, right? You had to know the weather patterns.
People asked us, what's the weather going to do? Hey, they call for a tee time on Wednesday for Saturday. Hey, what's the forecast for Saturday? I'd go, partly cloudy.
Chance of rain.
Yep, winds out of the north-northwest.
I think
I got really good at it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you think of it, at times in the golf is, I mean, we're saving lives at times too, because we're.
You got to flip the horn. Yeah.
With the lightning meters.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You got to make that call, and you got to give people enough time to get off the golf course. So you got really good at starting to identify storms and what that storm was doing, interpreting radar.
Where it was going.
Yeah.
Didn't I ask you one time, didn't you keep like weather records at the Meadows, and I asked you when the best time to play the Meadows was. Do you remember that?
I don't know about that. I know Russ Nelson, Village Green, keeps meticulous notes on temperature and wind from 1988 on. I mean, he can tell you what was going on. But, well, back in the day, WeFest did a study, what's the driest weekend?
I remember this.
And it's the weekend they chose for WeFest. Now, it's not dry every weekend, but the odds are, statistically speaking, that's the driest weekend. But, you know, back in the day, the Meadows, what happens here in the upper Midwest, in the Red River Valley, the wind will blow out of the south, okay, in the summer, out of the south, out of the south, out of the south, and then a cool front will come, and then you'll have this rain event, and then the wind will come out of the northwest for a day, depending upon how strong the variation of pressure was between the low and high pressure, and then it'll be calm. Then you'll have a calm day. That's the day to play the Meadows.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then the cycle starts over again. Then the wind starts coming up out of the south.
2 days after a rain.
It could be the day after. If it's a light rain, in general, you want to play the day after. It was a big storm, 2 days after. Yep.
I remember
you the that day after that could be northwest. Anywhere in the, that was just you were at the Meadows, but I think that's why, but yeah. That's anywhere. Coupled around here.
Around here. Southern hemisphere, days. I think it's opposite. But I don't know that for sure.
So a couple days after the rain. So that means a couple days after a snowstorm.
It's going to be calm. That's why, like, tonight, temps just drop. The air quits moving.
It gets
and the
cold.
High pressure's coming in, and there's no wind. And it gets cold.
Which I think last night might have done the same thing. Because those roads are icy today.
Ridiculous.
Well, I think the wind kept up. Yeah. That's what made it icy, right?
Yeah,
the wind.
I thought it got cold.
No, I'm not talking about icy roads. I'm just talking about wind.
Oh, let's break down icy roads.
Yeah, let's get to that. That's what the people want to know. Can we drive in this weather?
No. Be safe.
So anyways, their weather patterns,
Are
predictable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Predictable.
That's good. There you have it. Straight from
now I know.
Straight from the weather booth at Sweet Chats. 2 days after rain, that's when you want to play golf.
Dean Wysocki, who?
Right.
Well, what? We don't need that. We got golf pros. That's what we got. Yeah. Ooh. What else we got? Nick, did you have something?
I got a question.
Yeah, I was going to say. I thought I had.
It's maybe more targeted towards the average golfer, but you guys can give your opinion. I want your opinions as well as if the average golfer could complete this task. I read a question. It was, if you were given 24 hours to play your home course, your local course, right? And you had to birdie every hole, could you complete the task? But you can re-tee at any point. I mean, you can, let's say you hit your tee shot and then you shank your next one. You can walk back to that tee you were just playing and re-tee. Just continue on until you birdie every hole.
The course is yours.
24 hours.
24 hours, course is yours. I mean, obviously, it's nighttime. We'll just say it's an indefinite day of light. 24 hours to birdie every hole.
Mm.
Well, yeah. I mean, guy like Lucas is going to have that done in
no time.
Correct.
Yeah, I could do it. Yeah.
What handicap?
Right.
And I would say you got to time it. Let's pick the longest day of the year. So June 21st, whatever that is.
Well, it's 24 hours. So the course is lit.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour
period. Oh, so we're going to make-believe land.
Yeah,
make-believe land. You go down to Arizona and say that's your home course. They got lit golf courses down there.
Okay.
Let's just say for the question, it's an indefinite day of 24 hours of light.
I got you.
So you have 24 hours to complete this task. Could you birdie every hole in that 24-hour period?
This is gross, right?
I think it has
to be a natural birdie.
Yeah, natural birdie.
I would say single digits for sure.
Single digit handicapper.
I think go no go is a bogey golfer.
Mm.
I think 18. They're an 18 and above. They're going to struggle.
I was going to say 15.
That's fair.
I was going to say
you get on a long par four. You could be playing that for hours.
Yeah.
Oh, and let's say, I mean,
do you have to complete the one before you can go to the next one?
Complete the hole.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm.
No, I'd say you could skip.
Yeah, you can skip a hole. You can just go play all the par threes first, and then go to the par fives or whatever. But I think, I mean, how the real problem would be, I mean, you hit your tee shot, you hit your approach, and then you miss your birdie putt. Now you have to walk all the way back to the tee and re-tee.
Are you walking about or can you have a
shame?
Let's say walk.
Oh, okay.
Oh, walking? Then I just keep playing.
I think
I don't know.
I like that 18 handicapper. barometer. Mm-hmm. I think anything below that, just a good chance.
So you think, you could do that?
I could do it.
Yeah,
I think I can do it. I'm pretty sure I could do it in 24 hours.
I think so too.
I think I could.
I think you probably could.
All right. I got a follow up question.
You'd have to chip in a couple times, but you could do it.
You'd be tired.
That's funny.
Follow up question. Similar thread because the Masters right around the corner. So you got the invite, you got the green light to go play Augusta National. Mm-hmm. Had to play the tips. Mm-hmm. I'll start. Same question. Could you bear, not maybe not the no. tips, but. You play Augusta National from your tees. Could you birdie every hole in that 24 hours if you're given?
My tees?
Yep.
No. No way.
In 24 hours.
No way. Every hole?
Every hole.
No way.
It's the same deal. From
Nick,
your
you've
tees?
Not been on the course.
So. I don't think so. Because
the hills, you would be scared to death on some of these shots.
It would take us a while to do our own local course, I don't think.
You don't think you could do Augusta?
No way.
I mean, what if, well,
I
okay,
think that
so
moves down to a single digit.
That would have to be a single digit.
I think you'd have to be a single digit in 24 hours at Augusta.
You have to know
the
your
slopes
ball.
On the greens. I mean, yeah. It and then even I had even go. You might have to be a five or less to pull that one.
Yeah,
off.
I don't think I could.
Do it. Okay, so I'll change that. Let's
do you
say
think you could do it.
Yeah, I think I could.
Tipped up.
Yeah, you could do it.
Not tipped out.
You'd have to play the tee up.
I play the members tips, but I wouldn't play like the tournament tips.
Okay. How far do you think you could get from their tees? Tipped
from,
out.
Like how many birdies I could make?
Yeah, into the 24 hour period.
I mean, I think I could get over half.
Yeah.
I'd probably, I'll put it at 15. I think I would struggle on, I'm terrible on par threes. So honestly, I think most of the par threes should be where I would struggle. Well, 16, you funnel that one in there.
16, you have, I mean, you don't have to go, I mean, you could just, go. As long as it's close. I mean, you could just
keep go walking back.
I just say
keep
stop aiming left on the par threes.
I do have a habit of aiming left. Fine. I want to play a baby fade in there all the time, and it ends up being a pull hook. It's never good. But okay, so then I'll reframe a question again. Let's say we go tips, unlimited mulligans. What are you shooting at Augusta National?
Unlimited mulligans?
Unlimited mulligans. Could you break?
Well, are you there all day?
Well, you get, well, let's call it 8 hours. You don't get 24 hours, but you get 8 hours.
8 hours. Unlimited mulligans?
Unlimited mulligans. Play tipped? The course. Got to play the tips. Oh, what are we shooting? I mean, is that like a...
I think it's still...
A, are you under par? That's my question.
What?
No.
What do you mean, what?
Tips?
Not me. With the unlimited mulligans?
No way.
We're chucking our hitting like our driver
Mark's
out there.
Point, we'd be out there all day.
260, and then you're hitting your approach shot. You have a 4-iron in your hand, a par 4.
You get unlimited mulligans on the par threes. Hit it to your point. You just hit it tight and go up there, and maybe the guys you're playing with are like, you know what,
okay,
that's good.
I see. Yeah, we hit, you'll see, one in five.
You don't think
one
you
in five
make
4-irons I'm hitting, at least on the green.
You don't think you can make plenty of pars. You happen upon a couple of birdies with unlimited mulligans.
Sure.
I say I shoot 80.
80?
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick.
Yep. I think...
Anything better than 80,
it would take all 8 hours. I would be like on the hour, like my last putt's going in at hour 8. But to guarantee that I'm getting all my mulligans in, I'm out there all 8 hours.
All 8 hours. All right. I can get behind that.
It's a slow round.
That is, well, it's two rounds.
Yeah.
Technically.
Too many swings.
Okay. Mark, are you studying over there?
I'm doing my team because I already checked out. Unlimited mulligans, you lost me. Well, ask me. I mean, where's the sanctity of the game? Unlimited mulligans? I don't. That concept. You could sit there until you're going to birdie every hole if you have unlimited mulligans. You just sit there and
that's
keep
why
trying,
you have 8 hours.
To.
You have 8 hours.
You're really confident in your game.
Unlimited mulligans?
What are you on? Like 5 hours?
I would say you get one mulligan per hole.
I'm
shooting 90.
I'm hoping to break 100.
Breaking, I was going to say, you're breaking 100.
I don't even know if I would.
Per hole?
One mulligan a hole.
I would give
strokes.
Per shot.
What?
So you get like, if you hit a bad drive, you can get a breakfast.
You get a do over?
Yep. If you want it.
Then I like.
So
I
can, a one man scramble.
It's a one man scramble.
Okay, now we're talking something that's more tangible.
Scramble.
Also, how many balls are you carrying with you?
No doubt.
Unlimited mulligans? You got?
Well, you got a caddy.
I got a, you got a four caddy. You got.
I'm still hoping to break 100.
With one mulligan
one
per
man
shot.
Scramble one man scramble? At Augusta?
Yeah.
Mm. You get
one man scramble. If I could break 80, that'd be a good score.
It's pretty
I think,
good.
In a one man scramble. Just because the slopes and I've never,
We don't get that around here.
Mm-hmm. Not like quite like that. It's under 85. I'm shooting under 85 in a one-man scramble for me.
Just remember, everything breaks towards Rays Creek. Remember that.
Most of the time.
You guys getting excited for the match? I'm so excited. This question, but because it's, what is it, 2 weeks away now?
Yep.
Yeah, Houston, and then it's the Masters. I mean, that's crazy. It's here. Did you see Scotty Scheffler's odds?
No.
He's 5-1.
Yeah.
Is it really?
We talked about it last time. He actually improved. Actually, I just saw this morning. He's at some sports books, he's like plus 450. So he's better than 5-1 odds.
It's crazy.
Or worse than 5-1 odds. I don't know how that works.
Worse odds, well.
We get
better odds. Better odds to win, worse odds to bet on.
Yeah. Then I don't even know. I mean, even looking ahead, not to jump too far ahead, but like this week, Data Golf's given Scottie Scheffler a 25% chance to win. A 25% chance to win.
That's Tiger's numbers.
That's Tiger numbers.
In a field of...
That's crazy.
Whatever.
And the next closest is Wyndham Clark, and he's not even at 5%. He's at 4.9. I mean, you can round up, but like...
Yeah.
20% difference.
That makes you think, like, back Tiger back then, if Scottie was 5-1 to win the Masters, what Tiger was sitting at back then?
Well, he won. His win rate was like 30% at his peak or something like that.
It was pretty high, but you know what's different now is, you know, you've pulled out probably 16, 18 guys that can win.
True.
Well, let's call it a dozen players that would have been playing the tour probably that aren't there now.
Yeah.
So a guy like Scottie, to be able to differentiate himself the way he has, I can see why the odds do that. They're just less guys in the field.
Yeah.
Capable.
I think there are, I mean, looking at the field, it's probably there's 5 or 6 guys that, you know, Wyndham, Scottie, Tony Finau, Sungjae, maybe one more that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. And then that drops off pretty
he's going to have a bad week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not make any putts.
Which just, comes down to his putter once again.
I just, you know, that's a lot of winning and mental fatigue, whether you're winning or losing. I mean, to go into the Masters grinding, I wonder if this week he just kind of takes his foot off the gas pedal a little bit.
It's a home meet for him, technically. He lives there. So
it's Texas.
Yep.
Fresh cut per Bobby. He's got a fresh cut.
Probably lined up the beard.
Yes. We've got a picture of Ivan,
the barber
has a picture with Scottie. Scottie signed flags from the Bay Hill as well as TPC.
Oh, yeah.
His championship flags.
This week?
We'll put that up.
Last week it was on there.
Did we get him our Boothie pictures?
Well, I don't know.
Those have been making the rounds.
Yeah, those have been on social media. We got to get something framed and give Bob. Thanks for the snacks, Bob, by the way.
Yeah,
we got Scrappy
back, Bobby Knutson down in. Let's
have one
down in Texas. And I was thinking about that. We need Bob's got to. We should probably have him on the podcast.
Call in session.
I mean, let's
line that up.
My only request from Bob is that he schedules a haircut roughly around that same time, a trim, and he can just sit in the back. He could read a Sports Illustrated or something, and just listen to the conversation, pick up a few things.
Scotty's in there getting his due, and he can kind of whisper.
No, here's what we're going to do. So, the next time, he's in there for his haircut. We want him getting his haircut and having Ivan there, and they're on the show with us.
Oh, I like that.
So, Ivan Bob's the barber. Comment, calling in.
Put us on speaker.
Yep.
And Ivan's doing the haircut, and we just kind of talk. We break it down a little bit.
Break down what goes on around the barber chair.
Yep. Sort of notables in the field.
So Bob's got to let us know when he's due for the next cut, the next trim.
We'll get him on.
And then see if Ivan be willing to just be on the podcast.
Why'd you? That was a weird emphasis.
I know.
Podcast.
Podcast. Podcast.
Emphasis on the pod.
Syllable. Emphasize.
Yeah. No, that'd be good. Yep. That'd be good. Obviously, a mallet putter seems to be working for Scottie. So I'd be surprised, you know, if it's a poor putting day. And I don't know, speaking of poor putting days, this last week, how about Justin Thomas's performance in the third round? Nice little 79. He goes like 67, 65, 79. He was like T6, 38 putts, third round. I missed like a little 3-footer.
I think he made his first putt at 3 feet and didn't make a putt within 3 feet the rest of the day.
within or outside of three feet
the rest of the day.
That's a legit golf course. That's, I mean, when the winning score was what, 12 under par?
Yeah.
These guys were not a lot, not many guys got double digits under par. So,
but that just goes because he, Justin Thomas, he had two rounds in the 60s, then he went 79, then he went 71. It's just like this big 79s there all of a sudden. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Can we talk about that event a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Let's get into
Malnati.
Yep.
You see his emotional post-round interview?
Yeah. I mean, that. For those that didn't watch it, Malnati, that was his first win since 2015.
9 years ago.
Wow.
Nine years ago. He's been on the PGA Tour. He's been grinding. Even before that, he was on mini tours. He's a strong, strong advocate of why they have the mini tours in place and why they have that path to it, because that made his life essentially. And he's one heck of a character for golf to be able to have as an advocate, I think.
And if you haven't heard his interview, there's three interviews. There's the TV interview, then he did the XM PGA Tour
radio,
and then there's his press conference. And I've heard all three. It's almost must listen stuff. It's so refreshing. He's so honest. He says what it means to him, and he really frames up the importance of the Korn Ferry Tour, even the Tour Americana, whatever that is.
Yeah, the Latin
America Tour. And he really expresses his heartfelt thank you to the sponsors and the communities and the volunteers for what they do. It's so refreshing compared to what's going on with Live Tour.
This is why you have full field events. You don't have these elevated events with no cuts. I mean, this is the reason you do that. I mean, this guy, not saying his life is changed, but in a sense, like, he's been doing this for so long. You start to eliminate fields like this and take away fields like this.
Yeah.
This is his first trip to Augusta.
Yeah,
He didn't even know when the Masters was. They asked him, like, how's your prep going to go for Augusta? He's like, I got about 3 weeks here now, so... some good time to prepare, and they're like,
nope.
He's in the field this week, guys. Are you going to have him?
I got him.
Just look, $6,700.
I got him.
Cheap.
That's good value for a previous. Yeah, he's been playing really well too. I saw somebody was kicking themselves for not placing a bet on him because he was like T9 at the Players, and he was top 15 in the week before that. Like,
oh wow! Okay.
Recent form has been really, really solid for him. And he pulled out a win like this. I mean,
good for him.
But he was really. You know, his family, I don't know if that he was 9 years ago. I don't think he was married and certainly didn't have children. And now this time he said, I dreamt about having a win where my family came onto the green. And he said, I didn't see him my first putt on the 18th hole, but I saw him before I hit my tap in. He said, thankfully, it was only 2 inches because I was balling. I was
tearing up like that.
So he dreamt of this moment where his family and son would be on the green with him. So, yeah, it was really refreshing.
That's great.
PGA Tour needs that.
Talk about refresh. He uses a yellow golf ball.
Yes.
Does he
really?
He uses a yellow Titleist. Yeah. I think he's like one of the only guys to do it.
Not like Bubba Watson.
He was like Bubba. Yeah.
But even Bubba, Bubba signed with like Volvic. That lasted for like a year, and then he switched back to Titleist. Yeah. And then, I think I saw in another interview he does that because his son liked it. His kid likes the yellow golf ball because he can see it. Yeah. So that's why he does it.
He talked about his 17 is a par three, a couple hundred yards. He goes, I don't even know how far it was. And then he said, he stuffed it in there. The pin was tucked left, and he actually hit it left of the hole to about 6 feet and made the putt for birdie. But he said, happy coincidence, right? I mean, he was not aiming at that pin, but he had over-practiced. He just knew when the pressure was on. You got to listen to that interview. It was so good. But he said, I made the swing, and the wind moved it over there. Moved it a little more than I thought it was going to move, and all of a sudden it was tight, and he made the putt.
That's, I think, the thing that most people, and even the announcers you'll hear on a ton of shots, that don't understand that 80% of this time, like, pros are not aiming for these pins.
Yeah, not from 215.
No. Ricky Fowler at the Players hit one on, was it 16? One of the par fives, and flagged, like a 3-wood, and the announcer said, Ricky taking dead aim at the flag here. And it's like, no, Ricky missed that one way to the right, barely had enough club, kicked up there and ran up there to 5 feet or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing where he knows pressure's on, like myself. I aim I tend to aim left, so I'm going to put myself further right and then play a pull, essentially. Like, that's what these guys are doing. They're aiming away from the target for their miss to be super tight, and especially coming down the stretch, because at that time, did he have a two-shot lead on 17? Or was that just on 18?
He was one, and then he made it two strokes when he birdied 17.
Yeah.
So and then, what's his face?
Cam?
Three-putted.
Yeah.
Ooh, another thing to talk about, that's his seventh runner-up finish in 40 starts. Oh. That's a record on the PGA Tour for the most runner-up finishes without a win.
Cam Young?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay.
He had driver on 18, and he just, it was squirrely. So far left.
Yeah.
And then how about Mitchell? Keith Mitchell.
He's made a run too.
And he was leading.
Yeah.
He was.
I think he was in the final pairing, and he snipe hooked his drive off one, and he was gone.
Gone from there. Well, and that's the other thing I'll say, like, yeah, he was in the final group. Really didn't show him all that much. And I get it, like, when he's struggling and all that, but as soon as guys start to struggle in those last groups, they just stop showing people.
Yeah, they do. I think he was seven over through 12 holes or something like that.
I did not know it was that bad.
Yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Oh, no.
He turned in 40, and then he made bogey in a double to start his backside, and then he eagled like the 12th hole to get it back to five over on the day.
Ugh.
Wow. Yeah.
Did Hoagie play last week?
I can't see right there. Is Scottie Scheffler shaved? He looks shaved, boys.
Not. Yeah.
That looks like a clean
face.
That's a clean
professional cut, though. I think he went in and got it.
I wonder if Ivan used the razor on it. Maybe Bobby did it.
We just need, anytime Scotty's playing, we need a weekly call with Ivan. Just go, all right, run it back for us here. Let's see.
Clean shave.
I don't like the clean shave. If you won twice.
You're not shaving.
With the beard?
Yes. Why would you change?
Well, it depends on how fast your beard's growing. If you grow a beard back in a day, you know.
I think too many people call them Rom. Maybe you had to shave it.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Well, we have two more weeks before the Masters.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, Valero's next week.
They sneak the Valero Texas Open in there. Mm.
Okay. So is this new? The Houston Open?
Sorry, did Hoagie play last week? Did you answer that?
No, he did not. He's playing this week.
Okay. Took the week off. That's his first week off, I think.
No, it's his second week off. He played, like, beginning of the season, he played seven or eight events in a row, took a week off.
Okay.
Players. Or one other event before that. Took a week off, and now he's back. I'm sure to get... Is he in the Masters now?
No.
He's not yet.
He's not. Is he outside the top 50 still?
Yeah. 56. He's right outside of it.
Still. He didn't move at all, even after...
That's why I asked if he played.
Okay. So he's playing this week. He'll need another good week this week.
Yep.
All right. And maybe next week.
He needs to beat Scottie Scheffler. That's how he's going to jump up the rankings there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we going to pick teams?
Yes, we look.
Yeah, looking this week, it's obviously I got it mixed up with the Valero Texas Open here. So, but from what I've seen, it's a couple big horses up top, and then looks to be a pretty low scoring event. But I think Tony Finau won it last year. Does that sound right?
Does. Yep.
They usually play this Houston event as a nice tune up for Augusta. Now I see it's a week earlier than, I don't know. They changed the schedule.
Yeah.
See, by the way, I did cash last week with my team, and I had a player miss the cut.
Mm.
But Damon made the cut for me.
He played well again.
Yep. He did. Yeah.
Yep. So he needs that.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I will say that the three-leg parlay that I said on the show cashed.
Last week. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Way to go.
Yep. 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 Subsequently, they removed all of the
can't do that bet anymore.
The metrics that you bet on that again. So I don't have one like that. I've got a couple other ones going here this week, but
I sprinkled in a golf into my parlay on Saturday with Adam Hadwin. Three birdies or more.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you got to keep the clubs warm today, boys. That's just good hard guys fun.
Warming up their clubs.
Why aren't they in their sectionals?
Putting their heaters up in the clubs up in the heaters.
Well, actually, I think the high tops are warmer.
Yeah, they absorb the heat really well
because they're closer to the heaters.
Yeah, your hands.
Actually, many of the ladies prefer the high tops for ladies' night.
They can keep their hands warm.
Yeah,
got it.
Or drinks. Their ice is gonna melt quick.
Yep.
Slurping. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I forgot to do a DraftKings, and I'm filming, so I will put one together later.
Okay.
Who's starting?
I cashed last week, so let me start.
All right. Good luck.
Go for it.
Real quick. Aaron Baddeley. He made the cut last week.
Played well.
His right hand grip is so weak, and he aims so far right. Do you see him analyze that on TV?
No.
Like his right hand grip, his V is going to the other shoulder, not his right shoulder, his left shoulder.
He's like on top of that.
It's very odd, but he's making the cut. Riding Joel Damon again. Mm. I'm feeling like he's got momentum. Dietry, the Belgian.
Tomas.
He had a good tournament too. Really good. Mm. He wears khakis a lot, just regular khakis. Looks like they're Dockers from the 90s. I think it's Hugo Boss. Belgians and Germans are big into Boss. I got Hoagie on the team. I think he's hungry coming off a week. I have last week's champion, Malnati, on my team. Mm. I'm riding hot.
He's been
guys that have made the cut recently.
That's a lot of recent form.
Yep. And then how do you not have Scheffler? I'm not smart enough to figure out a team that would win without him on it. So I'm including him. I hope one of you guys have found a way
thing. Is that what you would call chalk, Chuck?
People
certainly are going to be all over Scheffler.
Yes.
You have to be. But,
it's good chalk.
But yep. I'll yield. Yep. What do you think? Is there a way around him?
No.
At this point, chalk. I don't think
not
so.
On this field.
Nope.
No.
I like it.
Recent form.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Good. Nick?
Oh, me. Okay. I'm sticking with the Scotty train.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mark said, there's no way around it.
Nope. You got to have him.
You got to have him. I got Nick Dunlap. I'm going back.
He was just on TV.
They showed him right there.
Yeah. He hasn't won. He hasn't. I mean, he obviously hasn't done anything since his win. I think he's going to be. He's hungry for a top 10 finish.
Okay. Maybe another win. Top 10, you're calling. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. He's going to get back up there.
Wow.
I then have Mark Hubbard.
Mark.
He hasn't missed a cut this year.
8 of 8.
Wow. Eight. Okay. I like that stat.
Same thing. Sticking with 8 of 8. Siwoo Kim. He was a little expensive, $9,700. Didn't
make sure that's the right Kim.
It is. I looked. I did make sure. What's this guy's first? Jake Knapp, the guy who he's been playing really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
kind of had a bad
ball.
Had a bad last week, but before that,
bounce back.
Yeah, last three were top 10 finishes, I believe.
Yep.
Tune up for Augusta,
and then Carson Young.
Carson Young.
Is that a budget?
He's a budget.
Yeah,
a
budget pick.
He's 6 of 8 cuts with one top 10 finish.
What tour?
Must be Corn Ferry.
What's what? Nope. PGA.
Oh, okay.
Ejection.
I did. You scared me there.
But okay.
Budget.
The Mexico Open.
It's tough when you spend $13,000 on one player.
I know.
Got to get six of six through.
Yep. Make the cut.
I like it.
Okay. Chuck, what do you got?
I also went with Chef. I think you got to have him. Then I went Hubbard as well because I like the 8 of 8. I went Sam Ryder. Sam's made 4 in a row cuts. I've seen his name on the first page.
Yep.
Last couple events. Then I went Doug Gim.
Mm-hmm. He played well at the players.
At the players.
Yep. And then I went the two Taylors. I went Taylor Moore, who's 8 of 8, and then Taylor Montgomery.
So you're cut maker.
Yep. I'm going cut makers.
Mm. Recent form, cut maker, and Nick.
I kind of have everything.
Your mix.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. All right. Well, I threw together a little underdog prop bet here. I like to stick with 3. Just keep them good. So I threw together Tom Hoagie. He's a ball striker. Home field advantage for him here, so he's not having to do that. But I'm saying he's going under 70 strokes. So he made 3 under par on the first round.
Okay.
Tony Finau won last year, but has struggled recently. I think he had like one of his worst finishes during the players and missed a cut last week. So his line was 68.5. I'm saying he's over that. So he could still be under par. We're saying, you know, he can be 3 under par, but he's going to be over 68.5. And then Will Zalatoris is back in the field again after struggling. And he struggled with his putter, whether it was last week or at the players. I'm saying he's got 3 bogeys or worse.
Okay.
So he can make 10 birdies, but he's going to throw three bogeys in there.
And is that the first round?
That is just the first round.
So, and are they starting Wednesday, did you say?
That's
tomorrow?
What it says on there. If they are, I guess I didn't look at the PGA Tour.
DraftKings showed it as Thursday.
Yeah. It could just be for underdog before they start manipulating some lines.
Because, you know, those bets, if you watch the weather forecast and you have a local
meteorologist
here at the
Dean
table.
Dean Wysocki.
Oh, that I was. I mean, we could. But you could.
Yeah.
Well,
you can manipulate that.
And that's how, so last week,
leverage that,
last week my lines were on fairways and greens hit. Those are the ones that I focused on because the weather was blowing, like the wind was whipping all week last week.
Smart.
And so you're just not going to be, you know, the accuracy is not going to be there. Now, I think Underdog probably wised up and figured out, that's probably the easiest line that you can pick because you can hit nine fairways and still shoot 74 or 68, you know?
Sure.
So those ones didn't seem to be on there, at least when we're recording this on Tuesday. But they're I enjoy that. I think that those lines are pretty solid. Tom Hoagie line, I don't like the even numbers when they don't give the half. I'm not, but I had to put one in on Tom. So,
all right.
Feel good about it.
Unless the odds makers know something about the weather in Houston that we don't.
True.
So they, maybe it's whipping.
Maybe, well, most of the lines, though, were pretty low. Nothing was over 70, I don't think, for all those guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Scotty was like, his line was 67 and a half, which I was like, I don't want to touch that because it's either higher or lower of that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel great about doing that. So, yeah. There's our recap for next week. Anything else that we're thinking?
Bison Men.
Yeah, Bison Men been on a tear. Unfortunately, they were out in Bandon and that got canceled because of the weather. That was too bad. But they're out in San Diego playing Torrey Pines, a little North Course action. As of this moment, they're in the lead by 5 strokes. Jack Johnson had a great round yesterday, put himself in a tie for first. Ian Simonich was tied for first after the first round, and then had, I mean, nothing crazy, but, you know, he's still up. I think he's top 5 when I looked. So
good for them.
Definitely playing well, and we kind of talked about it before the show, but every tournament they play in with Summit League competitors, they're proving that they're well ahead of the competition. Wow. So
good.
And any one of those guys can do it.
Well, that's just it. You look at even just like the last couple events, but then even in the fall, like Ian Simonich was, when he was a freshman, he was always, I mean, he was right at the top. He might even had a win. Jake Scarbrood won this spring.
Yeah.
And Ian Simonich has been kind of, he's been the 4-5 guy. And all of a sudden now he's tied for first.
Wow.
You know, like a 4-5 guy can jump in there and start winning tournaments. That's how you know you're in a good spot.
Yep. Yep. Got a good team.
Yeah, really good team. Really good team. And I see Josh Galvin's traveling as an individual to a lot of these, which, I mean, he's been right there. I think he was, after the first day, he was tied for fourth. He struggled a little bit yesterday. I think bounced back a little bit. But, I mean, that's any one of those guys. Any one of those
guys.
And
Josh had an unbelievable summer last summer.
He had a great summer. So, he won the Red River Am and made a deep run, I think, at the Resorters. And, yeah, I mean.
He won the Pine, right?
Josh won the Pine, yep.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's the one I was thinking of, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good team. So I'd encourage people to go follow along, watch that. If they want to watch some golf, that's the place to do it right there.
How about the girls? What are the Bison girls? Are they?
The girls, they just got back from Sedona. They've been kind of middle of the pack all year. Let's see their next one. Now they head to, I forgot where Leah told me they were heading, but
South Carolina.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Powell's Point. Right? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
True Blue was the one that we went together, and I think they're playing the True Blue course, which is a really nice course. There's good Bison history there. So that's we ended up winning that one as a boys team. They're playing that course again. So a lot of PRs were being set this fall. So they just gotta get it put together and then
all on the same page.
Yep. And then work their way up. You just gotta peak at the right time. You gotta peak in conference. That's a big thing. So they're working their way up there, that's for sure. So,
well, cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that'll do.
Academy, you got anything coming up?
Other than we are just on the website, we've got our junior lessons are just starting to open up here for June. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Then we've got our adult learn to play. We'll start here next week in April. And then we'll do a May one as well. And I'm June through the summer. So. Yep. As long as people are signing up, we're going to put them out there. So,
and we just wrapped up our PGA Hope, our first session, PGA Hope. That's the hat I'm wearing. It's not a donut hat.
It's not Krispy Kreme.
It's PGA Hope. It's a free lesson program for veterans. So if you know a veteran that would want to take some golf, our next session starts, I think that second week of April.
First week, it's a third, so it's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday, and that's going to be Wednesdays 10 to noon. So those that are retired will offer something for them. But if you know a veteran that is looking for free golf lessons, it's a great program sponsored by the PGA of America and the foundation PGA Hope. So
that's a great program.
Yeah, it's fun.
How many spots you got for those Wednesdays, Mark?
15. We limit it to 15.
And that's so on the website?
It is on the website. Yep, cool. Absolutely. Sweetshots.com.
Awesome. Under the Academy tab.
Our brother-in-law could get involved in that.
Yeah.
Now that he's retired.
Let's talk to him.
Yeah.
If you guys aren't cruising.
Right. No, we're no more.
Okay. World travelers.
World travelers.
Cool.
All righty. That's going to do it for this round. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week. I thought it was going to be a big show next week, but we got one more week till the Masters. Tune in next week for our next round. And then after that, we're getting crunch time here for the Masters. So, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.